Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki. This form, the second manifestation of the Purusha, is a source and indestructible seed of multifarious incarnations within the universe. From the particles and portions of this form, different living entities like demigods, men and others are created. Purport. The Purusha, after creating innumerable universes in the Mahatattva, entered in each of them as a second Purusha, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. When he saw that within the universe there was only darkness and space, without a resting place, he filled half of the universe with water from his own perspiration and laid down in the same water. This water is called Garbhodaka. Then, from his navel and stem of the lotus flower, sprouted, and on the flower petals, the birth of Brahma, or the master engineer of the universal plan, took place. Brahma became the engineer of the universe, and the Lord himself took charge of the maintenance of the universe as Vishnu. Brahma was generated from Rajagun, or Prakriti, or the mode of passion in nature, and Vishnu became the Lord of the mode of goodness. Vishnu, being transcendental to all the modes, is always aloof from material affection, materialistic affection. This has already been explained. From Brahma there is Rudra, or Shiva, who is in charge of the mode of ignorance or darkness. He destroys the whole creation by the will of the Lord. Therefore, all three, namely Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, are incarnations of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. From Brahma and other demigods like Daksha, Marichi, Manu and many others become incarnated to generate living entities within the universe. This Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is glorified in the Vedas in the hymns of Garbhastuti, which begin with the description of the Lord as having 10,000 heads, etc. The Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the Lord of the universe, and although he appears to be lying within the universe, he is always transcendental. This also has been explained. The Vishnu, who is the plenary portion of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, is the supersoul of the universal life, and he is known as the maintainer of the universe, or Shirodakshaya Vishnu. So the three features of the original Purusha are thus understood, and all the incarnations within the universe are emanations from this Shirodakshaya Vishnu. In different millennia there are different incarnations, and there are innumerable, although some are very prominent, such as Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Rama, Narsingha, Vamana and many others. These incarnations are called Leela incarnations. Then there are qualitative incarnations, such as Brahma, Vishnu or Shiva, or Rudra, who take charge of the different modes of nature. Lord Vishnu is non-different from the personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is the marginal position between the personality of Godhead and the living entities or Jiva. Brahma is always Jiva or Ajiva Tattva, the highest pious living being or the greatest devotee of the Lord, is empowered with the potency of the Lord for creation, and he is called Brahma. His power is like the power of the sun reflected in valuable stones and jewels. When there is no such living being to take charge of the post of Brahma, the Lord himself becomes a Brahma and takes charge of the post. Lord Shiva is not an ordinary living being. He is the plenary portion of the Lord. But because Lord Shiva is in direct touch with material nature, he is not exactly the same transcendental position as Vishnu. The difference is like that between milk and curd. Curd is nothing but milk, and yet it cannot be used in the place of milk. The next incarnations are the Manus. Within one day's duration of the life of Brahma, which is calculated by a solar year as 4,300,000 times 1,000 years, there are 14 Manus. Therefore, there are 420 Manus in 1 month of Brahma, and 5,040 Manus in 1 year of Brahma. Brahma lives for 100 years of his age, and therefore there are 5,040 times 100, or 504,000 Manus in the duration of Brahma's life. There are innumerable universes with one Brahma in each of them, and all of them are created and annihilated during the breathing time of the Purusha. Therefore, one can simply imagine how many millions of Manus there are during one breath of the Purusha. The Manus who are prominent within the universe are as follows. Yajna as Swayambhur Manu, Vibhu as Farochisa Manu, Satyasena as Uttama Manu, Hari as Tamasa Manu, Vaikunta as Revata Manu, Ajita as Chakshusha Manu, Vamana as Vaivasvata Manu, the present age under is under Vaivasvata Manu, Sarvabhoma as Savarini Manu, Rishab as Daksha Savarini Manu, Vishvakshena as Brahma Swarini Manu, Dharma Setu as Dharma Swarani Manu, Sudama as Rudra Savarini Manu, Yogeshwara as Deva Savarini Manu, and Brihad Bhanu as Indra Savarini Manu. There are the names of one set of 14 Manus covering 4,300,000,000 solar years as described above. Then there are the Yuga avatars, or the incarnations of the millennia. The Yugas are known as Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, and Kali Yuga. The incarnations of each Yuga are of different color. The colors are white, red, black, and yellow. In Dwarpa Yuga, Lord Krishna is black color appeared. In Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya in yellow color appeared. So all the incarnations of the Lord are mentioned in the revealed scriptures. There is no scope for an imposter to become an incarnation, for an incarnation must be mentioned in the Shastra. An incarnation does not declare himself to be an incarnation of the Lord, but grace sages agree by the symptoms mentioned in the real scriptures. The features of an incarnation and particular type of mission which he has to execute are mentioned in the revealed scriptures. Apart from the direct incarnations, there are innumerable empowered incarnations. They are also mentioned in the revealed scriptures. Such incarnations are directly as well as indirectly empowered. When they are directly empowered, they are called incarnations. But when they are indirectly empowered, they are called vibhutis. Directly empowered incarnations are the Kumaras, Narada, Prithu, Shesha, Ananta, and etc. As far as vibhutis are concerned, they are very explicitly described in the Bhagavad Gita in the Vibhuti Yoga chapter, or chapter 10. And for all these different types of incarnation, the fountainhead is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Om Jnanatimidandasya Jnananjalashalakaya Chakshuram Militanyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadameyam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turupascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Hare Krishna everyone. So very grateful to be here with all of you today. I want to tell you an interesting story before I start. So in 2012, I went on this sabbatical program. Put your hands up if you're in the sabbatical program. So I took a year out of formal education. Well, maybe it's informal education, but I took a year out of education that I was studying, and I decided to do this sabbatical program. For those of you who don't know what the sabbatical program is, It means that you spend 3 months traveling in India, and you're based in Mumbai, and then you spend 3 months or so staying at the manor. So that's what I decided to do. And I was 18 years old at the time, and I went traveling with India, and there was five of us. And on the first day, we arrived at ISKCON Chowpatty, and we arrived about 11 o'clock at night. And of course, they expected us to get up for Mangal Aarti. Now, fortunately, Mangal Aarti in ISKCON Chowpatty, because of noise regulations, is at 5 a.m. So we've got an extra half an hour. So we all got up and we were bewildered because it's a new place, it's a new surrounding. And so we went inside the temple room with like neatly ironed dhotis made of that sort of plastic material. And we went inside and everyone's looking at us like we're the new kids at school. And we went in front of the deities and we sang Mangal Aarti and then we chanted our rounds. And then it was time for class. And I vividly remember this expression that the person gave in class when he started. He said, "I am like a rabbit amongst all you lions." So what that means is that he was saying, my devotion is like a rabbit amongst all you lions of bhakti. So similarly, I pray for your blessings and I pray for all the blessings of the Vaishnavas so I can speak something of value. On this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the verse is, this form, the second manifestation of the Purusha, is a source and indestructible seed of multifarious incarnations within the universe. From the particles and portions of this form, different living entities like demigods, men and others are created. So this verse comes underneath the chapter of Krishna is the source of all incarnations. And Srila Prabhupada in this purport, as you heard, makes various points of the different Purushas and the different expansions of the Purushas, such as human beings, such as the different living entities, such as demigods. But it's interesting to know that this chapter is entitled Krishna is the source of all incarnations, and therefore I think it's only right to first establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because this is what this chapter and in fact the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is emphasizing. And the chapter actually ends with a verse and it's called the Emperor verse, and this verse many of us know is Ete Chamsa Kala Pumsa Krishna astu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vakulam Lokam Mridyanti Yuge Yuge. So, this verse, the translation is, all the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions. And the exact Sanskrit word is Amsa Kala. But Lord Krishna is a supreme personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is disturbance created by the atheists, but the Lord incarnates to protect the theists. So this verse is called the Emperor verse. And why is it called the Emperor verse? It's because in any literature, there is one line or one sutra that encapsulates the whole book. And this is called the Paribhasa Sutra of a book. So, for example, if I said to you, there is one ring to rule them all, you would know exactly what book I'm talking about. Well, maybe not the Vaishnavas, but people who have read other literature. So similarly, this one statement or this one verse encapsulates the whole book. It's called the Emperor verse. Just like a king gives direct orders, and whatever the king says, people have to follow. Similarly, the Emperor verse, whatever it says, every other verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam has to follow. Does that make sense? So, Srila Jiva Goswami states that this verse, Krishna Tu Bhagavan Swayam, is the Paribhasa Sutra, or the Emperor verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, as it is the most conclusive, unambiguous, declarative, absolute, and categorical statement showing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And why is this so? It's because this verse, Krishna tu Bhagavan Swayam, tu divides the sentence. And the word tu actually divides the sentence into two, meaning whatever's come before and whatever comes after are completely different. So whatever comes before the sentence is amsa kala, which means the plenary portions or the portions of the plenary portions. They are completely different to Krishna, which is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. In another verse in this chapter, Srila Jiva Goswami also says that Srila Suta Goswami lists the various incarnations, and he put Krishna amongst all those incarnations, which is quite interesting to note. That if Srila Jiva Goswami or if the Srimad Bhagavatam is saying Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why do verses before say Krishna is an incarnation? In some pictures, you see Krishna as one of the 10 avatars. So why is that so? So is Krishna the same as the others? Well, in that verse, in 1.3.23, Krishna is named as avatar simply because he is one who descends. Avatar means one who descends. An incarnation means one who comes into flesh, who incarnates. But he's called an avatar because he is so humble that he follows the same process as all the other avatars to come into the world. So, therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami says that because the emperor verse comes at the end of the chapter, it is given more weightage. So when the chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam are comprised, they're comprised as a complete verse or a complete chapter in itself. So therefore, whatever comes at the end actually holds more value and more weightage than what comes before. So therefore, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, we know that from other literatures or other places in the Bhagavatam, that Queen Kunti and Arjun, among others, they say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma, also in the Brahma Samhita we sing every day, he says Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is a verse to say that Krishna, just like you light one candle and then you light another candle, Krishna is the original candle. It's said in the Brahma Samhita. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he uses the opinions of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he comprises it in a nutshell. He says, Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajasvatanayastadharma Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadu Vrajena Valkapita Sriman Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartho Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatradara Paryaha. So, these are the five statements by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is summarized by Srila Vishnuvat Chakravarti Thakur. First of all, he says, Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajasva. Aradhya means the object of worship. And the object of worship, he says, the only object of worship should be Krishna, the son of Nanda. Then he says the dham. Where is the dham or the transcendental abode? He says the transcendental abode is Vrindavan. So first he says Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he says Krishna lives in the dham, which is Vrindavan. Then he says, who worships Krishna? That worship is performed by the Raja Gopis. And which authority says this? He says this spotless authority, this Amala Puran, is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the final point he says, the goal of life is to connect all of them in love of Godhead, or pure devotional service. So, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we take Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words as the highest truth. And so, the conclusion is that Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, you can speak for days and months, as acharyas have on this verse. In fact, it's said that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to speak on months on just one line of a verse. She just used to say months and months and things, and Of course, variety is a spice of life, and material, just as we see variety in the material world, there is even more variety in the spiritual world. So even though one statement of the Shastra you can speak for days on end. But, so that was the first thing I wanted to talk about, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now the second thing, I wanted to go back to the purport of today's verse, is actually about the different plenary portions that Prabhupada talks about. We won't go through all of them, because there's millions, but we will go through a few. And what I thought would connect today, because today is also Madhva Acharya's disappearance day, we can talk a bit about the Acharyas. I thought we'd talk about Lord Brahma, which Prabhupada does in this purport. He says, from the navel of Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu, who is the Vishnu of the universe, so from Karna Dakshaya Vishnu, from his skin, from his paws, if you just see the picture behind, you see this very famous picture in the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the paws of Karna Dakshaya Vishnu comes all the universes, and within the universes there's Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu. And from Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu, from his navel, a lotus flower sprouts, and on that lotus flower, Lord Brahma is born. And it's very interesting how Prabhupada describes Lord Brahma. Prabhupada describes Lord Brahma in this purport as the master engineer of the universal plan. And he also says, Lord Brahma was generated from the Rajagun of Prakriti, or the mode of passion. So, Prabhupada says that Lord Brahma is the master engineer of the universal plan. Imagine having that job description. Like, who are you? I'm the master engineer of the universal plan. So, I just came back from India. I went to Mumbai for 3 weeks. And there's two professions that are very prestigious. The first profession is engineer. The second profession is doctor. So, it seems like everyone, if you say you're a doctor or an engineer, heads turn. And they think, oh, okay. If you say you're an engineer from the Indian Institute of Technology, or IIT, which is known as the Harvard of India, more heads turn. And it's only natural, because the living entities are attracted to opulence. Have you ever met someone, they introduce themselves very humbly, and then you realize, wow, that person's very rich, or very wealthy, or very famous? And your whole perception of that person completely changes. So similarly, in India, if you say you're an engineer, then people give you a lot of respect. So Lord Brahma is the master engineer of the whole universe. So imagine how much respect we should give to Lord Brahma. So how do you get such a job title? Right? So if anyone wants to become the master engineer of the universal plan, although devotees probably don't want that, but if you do want that service of becoming the master engineer of the universal plan, Prabhupada says later on in the purport, Brahma is always a jiva tattva, the highest pious living being, or the greatest devotee of the Lord. And he is empowered with the potency of the Lord for creation. His power is like the power of the sun reflected in valuable stones and jewels. When there is no such living being to take charge of the post of Brahma, the Lord himself becomes a Brahma and takes charge of the post. That makes sense? So there's two things in this part of the purport that Prabhupada mentions. The first thing is, if you want to become Lord Brahma, is you have to have great devotion. The second thing is, you have to be, from that great devotion, you become empowered by the Lord. Just as Shaktiyavesh avatars, or people that are empowered by the Lord, they also have great devotion. And it's because of your devotion that you're empowered. Sometimes as devotees we think we need karma and jnana to become empowered. We need to be fruitive, we need to have knowledge to become empowered, we need to make deals to become empowered, we need to engage with the material energy to become empowered. That is not true, as we can see from Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is confused when he comes out of the navel of comes from the lotus flower, from the navel of Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu. He's completely confused. He goes up and down the lotus flower and he thinks, what is my purpose? But it's only by the transcendental sound vibration that he becomes clear in his instruction. Only by Shabda Brahman does he become empowered by the Lord. So, similarly, to have great devotion, you only need bhakti, and from bhakti, everything else stems. So, anya bilashita shunyam. So, from pure devotion comes karma and jnana. Not karma and jnana brings pure devotion. So, if you want to become empowered, if you want to become the master engineer of the universal plan, if you want to have such service and such skill to serve the Lord, all you need is great devotion. And from all of that, you become empowered. So, who would like to become the master engineer of the universal plan? Anyone? No? A few devotees, okay. So, the next point is, what does a job entail? What do you do as a master engineer? So, imagine the creativity and intelligence Lord Brahma has to have. He's the most intelligent being in the whole universe. And imagine the level of his intelligence to create such a universe in so much detail. However, devotees also, there's a verse that yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam shrimad urjitam eva va. We see everything as a spark of splendor of Lord Krishna. So that's how devotees view the universe. But it's not all fun and games. The universe is not all fun and games. It's not a place for our enjoyment. So imagine you're a devotee of the Lord and you're confused, and then the Lord tells you, okay, now I want you to create the universe. That's your job description. But then he adds a clause. He says this universe should be so that people feel suffering and people feel like it's temporary. So the jivas feel out of place. Can you imagine getting such a job? You're a pure devotee of the Lord. All you want to do is save the living entities. But your service is to create a playground where actually it's full of suffering. So can you see the paradox of what's going on? You want to save people, but at the same time, not save people, you want to bring people to Krishna, because we don't save people. But you have to create a place that's dukkhalayam ashashvatam. So the material world is one of misery and suffering. But because you're full of devotion to Lord Krishna, you follow his instruction. And we see this in the various pastimes of the Srimad Bhagavatam and even the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, and he is told to fight and kill his family. Sudama is a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, but his family is suffering and in poverty. Vasudev and Devaki are pure devotees of Lord Krishna, but Kamsa has killed all their children and has locked them in prison. And make matters worse, Krishna has told Vasudev to take him to Nandagaon and leave him there with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Can you imagine that you've worked so hard to get Krishna into your life, and all you see is a glimpse, and then he says, now take me away? So sometimes we romanticize the Shastra, like Sudama, what devotion. Arjuna, fighting, wow, wonderful, what devotion. Vasudev Devaki, wow, amazing, what devotion. But if you are in the place of these devotees, could you do what they did? You just get Krishna or Krishna consciousness, and now you have to give it away to someone else. They say that between the ages of zero, before puberty, it's the nicest time to spend with children. Is that not true? Before puberty, because they are dependent on you and they are not in a rebellious phase. They're completely dependent on what you say and what you do, and they're learning from you. Now, Vasudeva and Devaki, although they see Krishna afterwards, it's not the same, because they don't get to see his childhood pastimes. So although we celebrate Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and we celebrate Nandotsav, we celebrate Krishna coming to Vrindavan, Krishna coming to Nandagam, the hidden heroes are actually Vasudeva and Devaki, because we see their austerity and we see how hard they worked. So that's Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is you chant 16 rounds and he goes back to Godhead. So can we do that? That we try so hard, but still Krishna favors someone else. And yet we don't lose our devotion. So that's pure devotion. That's Krishna consciousness. Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Srimati Vrinda Devi ki, Jai. So that's pure devotion. And it's interesting, in the Mahabharata, there's a word that describes the Pandavas' love for Krishna, and it's called Snigdeshu. And a similar word is also described, it's called Sneha. And Sneha means affection or love. Literally in Sanskrit, Sneha means ghee. So what do we use ghee for? We use ghee for chapatis. We use ghee for what? Halva, okay, we're going on the food theme still. We use ghee for lamps. We use ghee for sacrifice, exactly. So we're just about to do the aarti, and we use ghee in those lamps. And it's quite interesting, the word sneha, love, also means ghee. Because when ghee is placed in a lamp, it is burnt. So the very essence of ghee is to be burnt. So the very essence of love is to be sacrificed. So to sacrifice your essence so others can get light. So sneha, which means ghee, means to sacrifice your very essence so that others can get life. So similarly, Lord Brahma sacrifices his essence, which is actually to be a pure devotee, to complete this service to create the material world. And he has to create it. So now the question is, how does he do so? They say the material world is like wearing braces, like I've got on. It's painful and it's uncomfortable, but it straightens you out. Right? So material world is like braces. I thought I had a bit of masala there. It's painful, it's uncomfortable, but it's supposed to straighten you out. So that's what Lord Brahma has created. And how did he do this? So how is the material world created? Now, I find it quite interesting that when we hear of why we came to the material world, there's always this argument, did we fall from the spiritual world or were we here like at the same time? There are three things that are hard to understand. Jiva tattva, so where we came from. Guru tattva, you can't know the mind of the guru. And third of all, Shiva tattva, which is why I'm avoiding him right now. Because Shiva tattva is very hard to understand. Even Srila Prabhupada says, we don't exactly know in this purport, which is interesting. I'm just going to find that. He says in the purport, Lord Shiva is not an ordinary living being. He's a plenary portion of the Lord. But because Lord Shiva is in direct touch with material nature, he is not exactly in the same transcendental position. So even Prabhupada, of course Prabhupada knows who Lord Shiva is, but in the purport he says he is not exactly. So when someone uses the word not exactly, it means it's hard to understand Lord Shiva. And the example is given of milk and curd. Curd is nothing but milk, but yet it can't be used in the place of milk. Does that make sense? For me, it still doesn't make sense. It doesn't click who Lord Shiva is. But there's three things that are hard to understand. Jiva tattva, Guru tattva, and Shiva tattva, it said. Now, it said that did Jiva fall from the spiritual world, or was a Jiva already here? Now, we're in this material world because we want to enjoy. We want to be the Purusha. Right, we want to be like Garbhadaksha Vishnu. We want to be like Vishnu. We want to be like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why we're here. Now, I was wondering, why doesn't Lord Brahma just create different planets for each one of us to live on so we can just enjoy material nature? Does that make sense? Why don't we just create each one of us in this room, about 50 of us, why doesn't Lord Brahma just create a different planet for each of us? Why has he put us all together in one universe? Why not have, because if there's millions and unlimited universes, why not create more? Each one of us can enjoy ourselves without being disturbed by any other living entity. Do you get the argument? Why not? But Lord Brahma is the master engineer of the universal plan. He is so intelligent that he wastes no resources. An engineer is known by how he uses the limited, scarce resources of this world to create something wonderful. So material energy, of course, is unlimited, but by its nature, it's temporary and it's scarce. It's only spiritual nature that's unlimited. So what Lord Brahma does, very intelligent, he creates hardware and he creates software. The hardware is limited. The hardware is the gross body you see around you. It's this microphone, it's the lectern, it's the shard building, it's the taxis, the buses, it's the plants, the trees, it's all the living beings. It's everything you can see, feel and touch and grossly perceive around you. But Lord Brahma is so intelligent, he also creates the software. The software is the feeling that I am the controller. Bhuktaram yagna tapasyam. That I am the enjoyer. That I am the friend of all living beings. So we know that Krishna is the friend of all living beings. Krishna is the controller. Krishna is the enjoyer. But Lord Brahma is so intelligent, he creates a universe within us. He makes us feel like we are the center of the universe. Does that make sense? So that software is implanted within all of us. Aham mimeti. That I, me, mine. That I am the enjoyer. So that's how, under the direction of the Supreme Lord, Lord Brahma created this feeling that I can enjoy. Of course we know that's false, because he also created Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam by the very nature of the material world. So, Lord Brahma is also said that he uses Rajogun. He's under the mode of passion. There's three modes of nature that can be combined unlimitedly, just like the primary colors that can be combined unlimitedly to make all the different colors we see around you. Lord Brahma actually is born from Rajogun. And sometimes I say that I hear the phrase that devotees are too passionate. Devotees from London are just too passionate. I need to calm down. I heard that phrase. Devotees are working too hard and they're too passionate. So Lord Brahma is just too passionate. He needs to calm down with his service. It's not good to be in passion. Because we know whatever starts with passion, it tastes like nectar in the beginning and ends like poison in the end. Whereas in the mode of goodness, it starts like nectar. It starts like poison, sorry, and it ends like nectar in the end. So London is an intense place. I live in central London with other devotees. And when you just travel out of central London towards the manor, into the suburbs, you feel at peace because the modes are not as strong in the suburbs. Now, we see that the word Rajogun, sometimes devotees apply that to other devotees, that devotees are too passionate. But this is also offensive. Why is this offensive? Of course, many devotees have mixed devotion. Many devotees are under the mode of passion when they perform the devotional service. But we should not see it like that. We should see it as like they're very busy trying to serve the Lord. They're in so much anxiety trying to serve the Lord. And who is in the most anxiety trying to serve the Lord? It is the Rajavasis. People from Vrindavan are in the most anxiety trying to serve the Lord. They are not in Rajagun. So when Krishna was born, it is not as though the people from Vrindavan were on a meditation retreat. Right? They weren't in some Zen meditation retreat, relaxing, at peace. They were busy preparing for Krishna's birth. This verse is saying the clouds were thundering, the demigods were chanting. There was all sorts going on to prepare. Krishna is going to come. So it looks so manic. So to a materialist, it looks like the mode of passion. It looks like this is just normal materialism. But for the spiritualist, they see that the intention and the motivation is different. It's to serve the Lord. Therefore, the Rajavasis, when their feet touch the sand of Vrindavan, it is called Raja Raj. So the word Raja in Raja Raj is the passion and the enthusiasm and the eagerness that the Rajavasis have to serve the Lord. But the word Rajaguna means the passion, the enthusiasm, and the eagerness we have to serve ourselves, to get name, fame, and prestige. So that's a very important distinction that I wanted to make, that just because devotees are working hard, just because devotees seem very busy, it doesn't mean that the devotees are under the mode of passion. And just because Lord Brahma is working hard, of course he's born from the mode of passion, it doesn't mean that necessarily he is under the mode of passion. Just like Lord Shiva is in charge of the mode of ignorance, doesn't mean Lord Shiva is in the mode of ignorance. He's just been given that service. And it's quite interesting, Prabhupada says that the three people that work together are Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva. If you see what they look like, they all look very different, right? And they all live in different places. And they all communicate with each other in different languages. They all have different types of followers. If you're a follower of Lord Shiva, you could be demoniac, you could be a demon. Follower of Lord Brahma, if you live in Brahmaloka, you're probably part of the aristocracy. Probably quite rich, quite famous, quite good looking. Follower Lord Vishnu, the Brahmanas, very pious. But still, they work together to make sure that the material creation happens without any hindrance. Of course, we know Lord Vishnu doesn't get involved with the material creation. But my point is, if these three personalities that are so different can work together, we all have our differences of opinion. We can also work together to serve Lord Krishna. Now, Lord Brahma is also the head of, we've got 5 minutes left. I was going to talk about Madhvacharya, but I didn't think I got time. Lord Brahma is also the head of the Sampradaya. Can you believe that? So his service is also the material creation, but he's also the head of our Sampradaya, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So as being the chief engineer, he's also got this other service. So as busy as he is, he's also got this other service. So they say that if you want a task done well, don't ask someone who's not doing anything. Ask the busiest person, because they will do it the best, because they know how to manage their time. So Lord Brahma's also got this position, to be the head of our lineage. But many people say, if Lord Brahma is the head of our lineage and he's such a pure devotee, how come he stole the cows of Vrindavan? How come he stole the coward boys in Brahma, Vimo and Leela in the 10th canto? How come he stole the how can he make such a mistake? And it's quite interesting, when Lord Krishna was coming down to the material world to enact his pastimes, before that Lord Brahma and all the demigods and Mother Earth, a cow, went to Lord Vishnu and says, please come down. They're offering their prayers. And Lord Vishnu says, I will come down as long as I have you as my entourage. That makes sense? As long as I have you as my entourage. Famous person never travels alone. They always have their entourage. So Lord Krishna also said, I want you as my entourage. What Lord Brahma did was delegate that service to everyone else. He was like, I don't want to go to the material world. I created it. I know what it's like. So he delegated that, and because of that thought, he got bewildered by Lord Krishna's pastime in the spiritual world. He got bewildered that how can this young boy who is being tricked by the other coward boys to eat a flower be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How could it be that the billions of coward boys are sitting around Lord Krishna in her in a lotus flower position, just like this lotus flower on the floor here, and Krishna's in the middle. How come they're all still feeling like Krishna is with them? So he got bewildered. And he's the head of our Sampradaya. So that's a paradox. But a pure devotee is not judged by the mistakes. They're judged by how they rectify their mistakes. We all make mistakes. We're in the material world. But we shouldn't judge people by how they make mistakes, because the nature of the material world is we're under the modes, we're going to make mistakes, we're probably enacting out our karma. But how they rectify their mistakes, and this is evident from his prayers, which we get to relish, tatenukampam shamashikshamano. So, all these prayers. So, this is Lord Brahma, and of course, today is the disappearance day of the next person in the name of our Sampradaya, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. And I go back to Devaki and Vasudev, because Vasudev and Devaki are the unsung heroes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why is that? It's because they didn't get to enjoy the Bal Gopal Leela. They didn't get to enjoy Lord Krishna as a young boy. But when Krishna went to Dwarka and he was the king, Devaki went to see him. And Devaki said to him, "Now I want to see you as Bal Gopal." So Krishna, as a prince, as a king of Dwarka, he turned into Bal Gopal and he started stealing butter, he started chasing the monkeys. He enacted all the beautiful pastimes for Devaki to see. And she was in complete ecstasy because she saw that. And then what happened? Rukmini came. And Rukmini saw the pastimes. And she was also in joy. Like, wow, I get to see such amazing pastimes of Lord Krishna that I've never seen before. And so Rukmini said, "I want to see these pastimes constantly." And so she got the deity of Udupi Krishna was formed. And this deity, Arjuna put in a place called Rukmini Van, which was full of Gopi Chandan in Dwarka. And over time, this deity was lost, and Gopi Chandan just covered the whole deity, and it was lost. And it was only until about 700-800 years ago in South India, where this Gopi Chandan was found on a boat that was about to sink, which Madhvacharya, just by his whisking his chadar up in the air, he got rid of the storm and saved the boatman. The boatman said to him, "You can have anything from this boat." Madhvacharya said, "I want this Gopi Chandan. I want this big block of Gopi Chandan." And he took this big block of Gopi Chandan and immediately cracked open. And what came out? The same Udupi Krishna, the same deity. And so Madhvacharya said, "I'm going to take this deity to Udupi to worship, and I'm going to build a temple for him." And he told his servants to carry Udupi Krishna. But the deity was too heavy for the servants. 30 different servants trying to carry the deity, but they couldn't do it. And Madhvacharya said, "Krishna wants me to carry him." And at that time, he created one of the famous stotras about Udupi Krishna, about singing about Krishna. And it's now worshipped very, very to an incredible standard in Udupi. Udupi Krishna is very incredible standard. So that's why one of the pastimes, why Madhvacharya, one of the heads of our Sampradaya, is so famous. And of course, Lord Chaitanya, he goes to Udupi and he sees the Tattvavadis, the followers of Madhvacharya. There, he sees them practicing so diligently, and he dances in front of Udupi Krishna in ecstasy. But the Tattvavadis are quite proud of their Vaishnavism, and so they tell Lord Chaitanya senses this, because he's a Mayavadi sannyasi, and of course they're Tattvavadis, so they believe in this deity form of Krishna. So they're like, Mayavadi sannyasi. But then Lord Chaitanya defeats their whole philosophy. They say that through Varnashram we can go to Vaikuntha, and they maintain this as the highest level. They say that the highest thing is to go back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Lord Chaitanya refutes karma, refutes the jnana within their philosophy, and establishes that bhakti, pure devotional service, is the highest, not liberation, which is what they're claiming. So that's why Udupi is a very famous place and a great place of pilgrimage. And of course, finally to end, Madhvacharya is very famous for defeating someone called Shobham Bhatt, who is the most famous Mayavadi philosopher 700 years ago. When there's a big football match, there's a lot of anticipation, right? If there's a derby in Manchester or England or London, there's a lot of anticipation. So similarly, there was a lot of anticipation of the battle between Madhvacharya and Shobham Bhatt. Shobham Bhatt was a Mayavadi or Advaita Vad, and of course Madhvacharya was trying to establish the personal form of the Lord. They had this huge battle, and from then on Madhvacharya became very famous around the world because he defeated Shobham Bhatt. So we owe a lot to Madhvacharya, because if you want to learn how to defeat Mayavadi philosophy, which is encapsulating the whole world, then we should learn from Madhvacharya, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does use in our philosophy. So I want to end there. Sorry, I ran over time. Is there any questions or comments? Or I think we covered a lot today. Covered that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We covered about Lord Brahma and his position, Lord Shiva and his position, about how there are, we talked about sneha, we talked about love and the sacrifice we find in all different pastimes of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we discussed Sripad Madhvacharya very briefly. So, thank you very much.